Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. A little late is better than never, especially on a game day taking on the rival San Antonio Spurs in New Orleans, Smoothie King Center, 7 o'clock. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, also a writer over at BourbonStreetShots.com, where we've actually got up an article that I wrote yesterday talking about the Pelicans' identity and small ball in particular, and in some shameless cross-promotion, I guess you could call it. That's what I'm going to focus on a bit today. I want to share some of those numbers with you guys. You've heard me talk about this. The past couple of days, the identity thing, the loss to the Thunder, I thought was basically avoidable if they had continued doing what had worked and said they paired Davis and Terrence Jones in the front court and got away from the small ball. Didn't even sub in Cunningham until much later. Omer freaking Oshik, who'd only played like one out of his last like 9, 14 games, something like that, was the first sub in. There's no reason for that. Come on now. And so we'll talk about that, the small ball, why it's working, why it's not, go into it a little bit in more detail here. Preview the game for you guys tonight against the Spurs. Pels really need to get this victory to at least try and make this a 3-3 homestand. The two wins so far are against Orlando and the Cavs, losing to Brooklyn and the Thunder. You get the Spurs here tonight, and then the Wizards on Sunday, and then they don't get more than two in a row at home for the rest of the year. So you needed to maximize this homestand. They're staring at potentially 2-4, maybe 3-3 if everything breaks, or 4-2. But let's be honest, I think we know the most likely outcome here. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans is available on iTunes. It is on Audioboom. It is on Stitcher. It's on the iTunes Store, on the Google Play Store. Anywhere there's podcasts, you can get it. So make sure you're subscribing, following it on Twitter, at Locked On Pels, making sure that you're getting it 5 days a week. No other podcasts come into you in kind of like a bite-sized chunk like this, whether you listen to it on your way to work, your way home from work, or during your lunch. You know, the two-hour podcasts are nice, but it's a little much at times. So this works out perfectly, and that's the goal of the Locked On Podcast Network. You know, the tagline is your team every day. Don't forget about the Locked On NBA podcast, the National Overview one. They just had George Carl on there talking about a lot of his comments from the book, some other moments he's had in his career. Very interesting to hear. That's once a week. It's a great way to get caught up in addition to Locked On Pelicans. All right, so let's dive into this small ball and the data behind it and the eye test and kind of combine the two. So the small ball lineup started in a game against the Mavericks on December 27th. So pre-December 27th, not counting that game, so basically the first part of the year, the Pelicans had an offensive rating of 100.6, and that's points scored per 100 possessions. It pace adjusts it, which makes it so that a team with a faster pace, which likely is going to score more points, is kind of weighted the same as a team with a slower pace. 100.6 ranks 26th in the league, which is bad over that time period. 26th worst. Not even sniffing top half of the league there. Their defensive rating was much improved from last season, so again, pre-December 27th, was 104.4 defensive rating, and that's good for 13th in the league. Leaves them with a net rating where you take the defensive rating, subtract the offensive rating, and it gives you, or the other way around, I guess, is really how it goes, minus 3.8 for the Pelicans there. Since that game, one, the Pelicans are 7-6, since using that starting lineup, and that's just kind of the date I use for the pre and post, as it makes the most sense. Offensive rating, 105.6, so 5 points per 100 possessions better. Not a huge improvement. It's not in the top half of the league, but it does jump them up to 19th overall in that time period from the 27th until now. 19th in the league, 7 points higher, or 7 places higher than where they were before. The defensive rating also improves. Now they're at 103.3, so 1.1 points per possession better since they've made the switch to playing more small ball. That ranks sixth in the league overall. You're solidly within the top 10 at that point, and they have a net rating of positive 2.3. So just looking at the basic numbers, things are significantly better. Overall in the season, and this is basically combining the two over their periods of time, so for the entire season, Pelicans have a 102.0 offensive rating, 26th in the league. So since small ball over their average, the Pelicans are still 3.6 points per 100 possessions better. Defensively, their season rank is 104.2, 8th best actually. Still better with the small ball lineup, 103.3. And I do need to say those numbers do leave out the Thunder game. And the main reason I did that is because that wasn't a true small ball game for the Pelicans. And I didn't want to try and figure out how to try and tie it into the pre-27th numbers. That's way too much work for me. So I'm leaving that one out because, again, they started Terrence Jones at power forward, Davis at center. The first sub in was Omer Asik. And you didn't really see any small ball till the second half. And once they did play small ball, it was much better. But it wasn't really the lineup we've been accustomed to seeing because Davis was out at that point. So I talked about it on yesterday's podcast where I just said, hey, you know, there's some issues here because the Pelicans don't have their identity. And I used a quote from Anthony Davis that he gave to Justin Verrier of ESPN.com. It says, where we have to figure out what team we want to be identified as. We can't keep going from game to game with a different identity. Well, you went from a game where you beat the Cavs, where you just subbed in Jones instead of Anthony Davis, played some small ball, and then just completely abandoned it and lost. And, I mean, that's it right there. So why is this small ball lineup working? I want to start with the defense. So it ranks sixth, and it's largely on the ability to switch on everything. Cunningham and Hill have pretty good lateral mobility. When they switch onto a guard, say Russell Westbrook, they can at least slow him down. Westbrook's going to blow by almost anyone in the league. But you can at least, if there's a switch forced, Cunningham and Hill can at least kind of body him up and play him a little bit. When he was switched on to Terrence Jones in the Thunder game, Jones couldn't do a thing. He was done. At least Hill and Cunningham can backpedal a little bit to try and slow him down. But Jones or Asik or whoever it is, it's not going to work. Davis is really the only one, and then he's hoping for a block from behind maybe. So you can see why the defense works, and the sixth-ranked defense in the league through that period, that's a wonderful thing to have. Pelicans needed that after, you know, the dumpster fire that the trash defense has been over the past couple of seasons. Offensively, the improvement isn't as, say, significant, but they do rank 19th offensively since the small ball lineups come into play. And that's jumping up 7 places. That's a good thing. It's slowly improving, and they still haven't even been tremendously great at playing small ball. And this is not because Solomon Hill and Dante Cunningham are lighting it up offensively. So I want to talk about some of where the improvement offensively has become. And think back to that Magic game. They scored, and I quoted this the other day, and I had the wrong numbers on there. They scored 38 points on the fast break against the Magic. They were taking missed shots, taking turnovers, and streaking down the field and scoring. So the fast break numbers, and in the fast break, trying to play in transition and scoring, seems to be the way to do it. So since dropping, you know, a traditional center, moving Davis there and putting Cunningham and Hill in there, it adds more athleticism. They can get out and run, whereas someone like Omer Asik is kind of lumbering down, and you're playing with 4 guys instead of 5 if you try and play while you're running down the court. Suppose can get all 5 guys running out in transition, and I said in the article, it's a bit of a callback. It harkens back to kind of the 7 seconds or less Suns. Not exactly like that. But don't forget, Gentry was there with those teams. and he wanted to do this is Gentry style play, wants to play in transition. So when you look at their percentage of their points scored in the fast break and fast break points per game, we can look at all of this, which is a pretty cool thing. So pre that Mavericks game, before the 27th of December, 13.3% of the Pelicans' points was scored in the fast break, and that was 11th in the league. Those actual points per game in the fast break translated to 13.7 points per game in the fast break, and that is good for 12th since the 27th of December, and not counting the Thunder game. The Pelicans score now 18.4% of their points in the fast break. That's fourth best in the league, or fourth most. So it's over, it's 5.1% more than what they were doing before. The translation of that to actual points, they are now scoring 19.4, almost 20 points essentially, 19.4 points per game in the fast break. Also good for fourth in the league. And compare that to what they were doing before, that's about 6 points more. 6 points more scored per game. That's a lot for a team that struggles offensively, that we've seen them struggle when they have to get in the half court. Get an easy 6 more points every game. Try and go for 8 more. And, you know, recently they've been executing on the fast break better than ever. So against the Magic, they put up 38 points in the fast break. Against the Nets in that disastrous loss, they scored 29. Things were clicking for them offensively. They were scoring how they needed to score. The problem was they just couldn't stop the Nets to the tune of, what was it, 143? Yeah. In Monday's upset win over the Cavaliers, where the Pelicans started Terrence Jones in place of Davis, because Davis didn't play, 24 points scored in the fast break. Small ball works. It does. You can see it. The numbers say so. The eye test says so. The one loss record says so. And it's weird that they would have just abandoned it. And again, you need to figure out this identity. And there's one that's saying, basically screaming, hey, pick me, I'm working. And the coaches just completely went away from it. And tonight against the Spurs, you have to figure the small ball lineup's coming back. I'd be willing to bet. One of the reasons for that is, and I'm going to talk about this as we preview the game. Sorry, I'm tired. It's going to be that because they don't really try an offensive rebound. So you're going to be able to grab all of these defensive boards. They like to get back and get set on defense, kind of what the Pelicans do. Now, the problem is it's tough to play in transition when they're rushing back. So you need to get that board and go. Not going to do that with Terrence Jones and Anthony Davis in the lineup. Davis was listed as probable, by the way, so we'll see whether or not he plays. But you have to figure, being such a big team, he wants to. But anyway, you know, small ball is working. We're 128 games in Alvin Gentry's tenure as head coach. The time to try and figure things out and for tinkering is long gone, especially now that Davis has his extension kicked in. So it's disappointing to see that this is where this team is right now, that this is where the Pelicans are. But maybe they take a look at the small ball numbers and go, okay, this is working. Let's at least try and build from this. I've been saying you need to just pick who you are, identify the blueprint based off of that, and go from there. Stop trying to change blueprints or change who you are. Isn't that movie, what's the one with James McAvoy, who's got all the different personalities, which I haven't seen or heard anything about, but that's what the trailers look like on TV? Pelicans are doing that right now. They don't need to. Just be one thing and do the one thing that's been working and that's been winning you games. That's how they've gotten back into playoff contention. So hopefully against the Spurs tonight, that's what you see head coach Alvin Gentry do. Don't forget, here on Locked On Pelicans, we're always looking for more sponsorships. It's what keeps this podcast free for everybody, and that's a wonderful thing. So if your company is interested in advertising to men between the ages of 18 and 54, and yes, it's all guys, listen, let's be honest here, then your company, you know, could really be advertised right here on the show. The audience is 97% men, and 79% of the audience is between the ages of 18 and 44. Pretty much key demographics and target demographics for what you want. In recent surveys, you guys can hear my dog kind of whining in the background. She just had back surgery, so think she's in a little bit of pain today. But recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more willing to consider purchasing products they learned about from podcasts, and 60%, given equal price and quality, at least prefer to purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite podcasts. It lends a degree of credibility, of safety to it, and everything. So it's only good. The rates are really reasonable. Email me. It's jake@bourbonstreetshots.com. S-T. jake@bourbonstshots.com. So I'm going to do a quick preview of the game tonight against the San Antonio Spurs. Before we get to that, Davis was probable to play, so I'd say he's probably about 75% go. We'll find out. It's probably going to be a game-time decision. We'll find out probably during Alvin Gentry's pregame presser. So make sure you're following my Twitter around 5:15 is when he talks to the media, and I'll be there. Other than that, they said Tyreke Evans, who had a bit of an ankle sprain, is fine. So the questions are, who's going to play for the Spurs? Pau Gasol is out. That's a good thing. Kawhi Leonard missed the past two games. It's unclear if he's going to be playing tonight against the Pels. Tony Parker missed the past four games with a sprained left foot, but he's expected to start or at least get maybe come off the bench for the Spurs. So more or less, it's just really dependent if Leonard plays or not. If he doesn't, that's a big bonus for the Pelicans. But I expect to see the small ball lineup again coming back to play. Hopefully it does. Maybe I get proven wrong. But the reason for that is you worry about rebounding with it, even though that lineup has rebounded particularly well. Offensive rebounds are not the Spurs' strong suit. They do okay in it, is an offensive rebound rate. They're about the middle of the league, but they're not a particularly elite offensive rebounding team. Like I said, they prefer to just get back and get set on defense. So the Pels shouldn't have trouble grabbing defensive boards and then trying to just sprint out in transition and score. They can do that if they can get above, 20, 24 maybe points in the fast break. They should be sitting kind of pretty. It's still going to be a long night defensively, but offensively, you got to wonder if they're going to be able to score enough against a very sound defensive team. Don't forget, the Spurs are 36-9. They have the third best defensive rating, the fourth best offensive rating. Very good overall. The Pels played them in what was a very odd game earlier in the year, where the Pelicans, couldn't do anything offensively. 79 points total in the game. Spurs didn't even get above 100 in that one. It was 98-79. Very weird game played. But basically, if they can defensive rebound and make it a little bit harder for the Spurs to defend in the half court where they're better, play in transition. Try and get out and run. Do your thing. Be a small ball team. If they do that and Kawhi Leonard doesn't play, maybe they can keep this one close. It's still going to be tough, but at least there's a chance. So it should be a fun one tonight in the Smoothie King Center. Always fun when the Spurs come. Big kind of division rival. Need to get this one because the Wizards game isn't going to be any easier on Sunday. So we'll find out what the Pelicans are capable of. So that's going to be it for today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. That's going to be it for the week. Small ball is the theme. Been talking about that. Hopefully the Pelicans can get a win tonight. I'll have this one and the Wizards game recap for you guys on Monday. Probably have a guest or two on next week as well. I'm working on a few things. Want to talk about the process, the AD effect that I touched on yesterday of why is there less ball movement when he's on the court? What's going on with that? Why are they kind of a little bit... They're not worse when he's on the court. That's a myth, but you guys kind of get what I mean. It's still a little bit odd. So we'll talk about that. Have some fun next week on the podcast with everything as we lead, getting closer and closer to the trade deadline and All-Star break. So thank you all for listening, and I'll see you all on Monday.
Napa Know-How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.